Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank and Martin here till 12. Kenny Wallace coming up shortly.
All right, let's tee it up first. 11 o'clock hour, it's 5 for Frank.
Tee up the hot topics. Yeah. It's 5 for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Okay, the manager you would most like to cover on a daily basis.
Joe Madden.
Isn't it Joe Madden? I mean, and then there's everybody else in terms of, like, Craig Counsell seems pretty loquacious, nice enough in Milwaukee.
But never, like, overly witty.
No, but not, I wouldn't say fun. David Bell is a career baseball guy, but he was pretty dry when he was here. Clint Hurdle could probably be interesting, but also real edgy. Dave Roberts might be up there.
Yeah, he's
kind of engaging, but also, and you got a winning team. But I just think Joe Madden, even though he could annoy me at times, I kind of got over it. He was getting a little cutesy, a little high on the hog. But I still think day in, day out, if your job is to get sound bites and talk to a guy, it's Joe Madden. And remember, for years, all we ever heard about is how much he loved the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because he grew up in Pennsylvania, loves Camelback.
And we loved him for that when he was with Tampa.
Correct.
And then when he started pounding the Cardinals and beating them in key playoff series. Yeah.
Is there anybody else on that? You know, Aaron Boone was a media guy, but he wasn't overly interesting as a media guy.
No.
Gardenhire, no. I mean, you're going up, and Bruce Bochy's won a lot. Probably very polite, but kind of boring.
Oh, could not be more dull.
There's just...
Dusty was good. La Russa was good.
There's very... I mean, I think part of it is, what we're pointing out, is the characters, the flavor. I mean, it does seem like, especially the trade deadline, everybody wants years of control. It's sort of nerd ball, and everybody's part of the machine, and it's a robotic structure right now.
Torrey was great, obviously. He was a terrific broadcaster, too.
You know, I wasn't here when he was here, and so I had no rapport with him. And he snapped pretty good at me. Remember when they were in town? I think Manny Ramirez, he was with the Dodgers.
I got a cut of that right now. Can we play this, Plowsy?
He snapped. It was something about it. It was a Manny question because something had just happened where he got dinged for shockingly, Manny Ramirez was involved in some sort of PED-related story. And I asked for some sort of follow-up with Joe, and he got kind of pissy. And everybody loved Joe Torrey. I wasn't here when he was here.
Yeah.
I'd only heard great things.
Whippersnapper reporter getting on a Hall of Fame manager. Jeez.
I think my one encounter with him ended sort of negatively. All right, number two. What team is Jared Cook on? Does anybody remember?
Jared Cook, the tight end, he used to be with the Raiders.
Right.
He had a trouble kind of holding on to the football sometimes.
But he had big moments. He had isolated great games.
For Green Bay in Dallas, he had a huge catch in a playoff game.
Should have been better.
So I only bring this up. I didn't know. But the television's on in the Kirkwood Brewhouse had one of the football channels, and they pop up his name and said, how will Jared Cook fit into the Saints offense? And
I went, really?
I haven't been able to keep track because he came here from the Titans, went to the Packers, went to the Raiders, and is now on the Saints.
That's when you know we're oversaturated for football content. We're somewhere in a production meeting.
Yes.
Someone comes up with the idea, and they run with it. Let's dissect Jared Cook's role in New Orleans.
Isn't it a little early to get to that angle?
Yes.
You know, that's like a week two storyline.
Well, it seems like he's been around for a long time, but he's only 32. How about this? 6'5", 248, 4.49 40 speed. Probably should have been, you know, a Pro Bowler at one time.
Right. Always sort of a career tease, talent-wise.
Yeah. Boy, he had a couple of games that were just out of sight. Maybe that first game with the Rams. He also fumbled on that one play. It should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a big moment.
Oh, wait a minute. He did go to a Pro Bowl in 2018. He's caught 420 balls, 5,000 yards. Solid career. Maybe should have been a superstar.
On the sidelines one year preseason, we were waiting to do a sideline hit, and we were just killing time. And I said, you played for Spurrier at South Carolina. I said, that was probably a lot of fun. He said, no, not fun at all.
Aww.
I was like, it was kind of a Hal Holbrook dismissal immediately.
Yeah.
We think of Spurrier as being fun. And I'm like, yeah, I guess if you're the player, you're 20, he's 70, he's old and crotchety. All right, true or false, the NBA, in part, is getting big because it's just more fun to follow in the offseason. Just the wheeling, the dealing, And then baseball, you have Zach Roscup being moved. And in the NBA, every big name is bouncing all over.
And it's amazing, too, that it happens so rapidly. I mean, free agency begins, and by 9 o'clock, in the morning, you have these incredible moves. And then you even have a little bit of the drama of Kawhi Leonard just waiting it out a week and teasing, Toronto and the Lakers before siding with the Clippers. The fundamental difference between the two leagues is what happens when free agency begins in the NBA as opposed to the trade deadline.
Yeah, the players are on the move. They're desired. Money's being spent. And in baseball, the collusion talk that was out there a little bit during the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado waiting period, you just sort of wonder if all these teams, everybody's kind of in lockstep. It does seem. Don't really want to go crazy on a deal if we don't have to. Don't really want to pull the trigger. Got to hold on to prospects. Got to have years of control. The analytics have really, it's not just, the on-field, the manager, but the way they do player acquisition, roster churn, it's sort of boring.
Well, what's amazing, too, about the NBA is that all of a sudden you can wake up one day and force a team to trade you to where you want to be traded. Paul George woke up and said, okay, I'm headed to play with my friend right now, and that's the way it's going to be. That the NBA, the players have so much power. It's crazy. By the way, this is a great text. Martin, Madden is, quote, too cute and high on the hog, yet you have Strickland on once a week.
Fair.
We try and put Strickland in his place. No, I said, admittedly, the manager I would like to cover on a day-to-day basis for media purposes would be Joe Madden. 100%. Now, I did get kind of annoyed. Even when he called the Cardinals vigilantes, I thought it was a little pious on his part. But yes, having Strick here, we're guilty.
Yeah.
But we try our best to keep Strick in his place. It's gotten a little harder since he won the cup.
That's
Is his
right.
name going on the side of the cup?
No.
All right. You are John Mozeliak. Did you ask public relations not to announce that you added Zach Roscup two days before the big trade deadline? Did you at least put in a request? Let's just put this quietly in the transactions page.
That is, you can ring the bell, a very good question.
Oh.
Yeah,
because
that is outstanding.
I just wonder in his world, oh, God, it's going to be low-hanging fruit, all the joke. We just want him to go down to Memphis, see if he's got anything left.
God, do you think he did that? That's crazy.
I wonder if he said to Pierre, let's not do an official release. Because you got the news yesterday.
Yeah.
And the Twitter account said, we've made a trade, we've added a player. And you went, whoa. You're ready to, jump on the set. And they're like, Zach Roscoe, was he on the Dodgers? Was he on? No, he was on Toronto. Yes. Was he on Seattle? Yeah. He's been on all three this year. All right, number five, milkshake bet. Who wins the National League Central? If you had to be right, would you pick the Cubs?
Can we answer the question at 3:01 on Wednesday? I think the Brewers are more likely to make that move. That's what scares me. Milwaukee makes moves at the deadline. They get the pitcher.
And their owner, Pistachio, which Cato Kaelin calls him, does seem to be a little bit Jerry, Mark Cuban, let's do this, kind of rah-rah, gets involved. But I think if you had to bet a milkshake that you could later transfer the debt to Charlie and he could pay back Plowsy.
You'd go Cubs?
Probably would think the Cubs.
Yeah.
And as
great lineup, better starting pitching.
And Hamels is coming back. The bullpen's a problem, but if Kimbrel gets going... Hopefully we're all wrong. Hopefully the Cardinals win the division. And last week's question was, would you take that one-game wild card? You all said 100%.
Oh, heartbeat.
The majority of people that responded to me said, go for the division. Don't settle for the wild card. But if it were today, who would win the division? Head-to-head? Would the Cubs be declared? They'd play a one-game. Remember last year?
They'd probably play a one-game.
So you'd have to play a one-game winner-take-all.
So the Cubs would host it because they won the season series.
So if the season ended today, you'd play a one-game at Wrigley. Winner gets the division. And then the wild card, or the loser of that game, would then go the next day to D.C. to face Scherzer and the Nats. So you'd need two... One game.
Well, Max's availability is highly in question now.
Theoretically, if you're the Cardinals, you can go from facing either John Lester or Yu Darvish to then facing Steven Strasburg or Max Scherzer, and then to face Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler.
And then you'd run through that gauntlet If you don't win the Cub game and win the division, then you would go to the wild card game, and then you would go to face the Dodgers.
Right.
Would you take that scenario right now?
No.
All right, Five for Frank every day, brought to you by Greenville University and also Cardinals.com for all your ticket needs. We've got the upcoming promotion. Make sure you get online, Cardinals.com/promotion.
I'm retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time.
You know, Frank has said to me for years, we need more NASCAR coverage on this show.
Absolutely.
But we don't really get into a lot of NASCAR. We tend to just talk about racing, rednecks, redbirds, you name it. He is the pride of Arnold, even though he technically lives in Imperial. Kenny Wallace with us. Kenny, how are you?
Hello, everybody.
3, 2, and 1. Kenny Wallace joins us. How are you, sir? More importantly, where are you?
I am doing great. I'm all the way up here in the land of Abraham Lincoln. I'm in Springfield, Illinois, with my dear friends at Allgaier Motorsports. They sell racing tires, they sell parts, and they offer some great services that help us make our race car faster.
Wow.
You know, Frank's been spending a lot of time in Springfield. In fact, he recommends a gyro at about midnight at a gas station.
There's a place called California Kitchen. It's an unimpressive-looking drive-through where the food is authentic. It is outstanding gyros and fried shrimp and all that healthy food.
I hear you, Frank. Yeah, this is, you know, obviously, if you went through grade school in St. Louis or, hell, for that fact, anywhere in the Midwest, we all would come here on our field trips to see Abraham Lincoln's home. So a lot to be said about Springfield, Illinois.
Well, you're kind of a health nut these days, but would you have a horseshoe if put in front of you? That's the Springfield tradition. I think we got some hash browns, some gravy. I forget all the ingredients, but have you had a horseshoe?
First of all, teach me, what is a horseshoe?
It's now I'm going to get this wrong because it's gravy, it's cheese, it's hash browns. It's
maybe fries.
On an open-faced burger, I do believe.
Like on an open-faced burger.
Okay, guys, listen. In my world, that's what you call a heart attack waiting to happen. although it sounds wonderful, I just can't do it, man. You know, I think I've told everybody over the last two, three years here that, you know, my grandma, my grandpa all died of heart attacks. My dad died of a heart attack, clogged up arteries. So Kenny Wallace has the curse of cholesterol. So I have to make sure I keep my cholesterol, you know, 200 or lower, and I'm just cursed. I can't eat crap food like everybody else does, darn it.
The curse of cholesterol.
Kenny, we're going to be broadcasting live from Worldwide Technology Raceway on Thursday. About three or four of the Indy cars are going to be testing the track a little bit. Just how big an event is that for our town?
Well, I got to tell you, give credit where credit's due. You know, Curtis Francois, as you know, Frank, he's become a legend for racing around the Midwest, saving that racetrack. You know, the track was shut down, and, you know, he purchased it, opened it back up. Chris Blair, who's in charge of marketing over there. And last but not least, the last, you know, key to the puzzle is our friends, you know, John and Frank Bomarito, the legendary Bomarito boys, that, you know, the auto dealer in St. Louis. They have made this IndyCar race just legendary. I mean, the crowds have been, you know, 40,000 people over there for an auto race over the last couple of years have made it a must-go-see event. You know, it's no different than going to Busch Stadium, except, you know, we only see this one time a year. These Indy cars, now remember, these are the same cars that race in the Indianapolis 500. So this is everybody's chance one time a year. And, oh, yeah, they do serve, you know, Anheuser-Busch products over there. So it's a great night.
Is there a rivalry between the open wheel and then the NASCAR circuit where you say, yeah, I could do that? I mean, they should see what we do on a daily basis. I've always wondered, is there a little bit of a, whether it's spoken or unspoken, between the two circuits?
So most people know that the great Roger Penske is a dear family friend of the Wallaces. My brother Rusty drove for Roger Penske, and I drove a handful of races for him, and so did my brother Mike. So Roger Penske is an 18-time Indianapolis 500 winner. Chip Ganassi, who has won the Indianapolis 500 a lot. Both those IndyCar owners, they also field NASCAR Cup teams. So, you know, it's that thing in life, know your place, right? The IndyCar guys are incredibly technical. I like them all, but they all know that NASCAR is just the biggest, and they'll never be as big as NASCAR. Their ratings are not even close. You know, you might get 300,000 to 400,000 people watching an IndyCar race, but, you know, every week 1.5 to 2 million watching a Cup race. Now, with that being said, you know, I think they know, you know, and there's never been a rivalry, you know, between them, because they just know people like watching NASCAR. They beat and they bang, but also people watch the IndyCars for the technical aspect. They're engineering marvels. They run over 230 miles per hour, and that's why we go to watch them there at the racetrack there in St. Louis, because they go around that racetrack so fast it just boggles the mind. And, you know, that's the real reason we go to watch these Indy cars there in St. Louis, is they come flying down that front straightaway, and it's like, oh, my God, are they going to make the corner? You know, and the crowd comes to their feet, oh, my God, they made it, you know, and then they go flying down the back straightaway. Somebody will get a run on somebody and try to make the pass. And, you know, so both series, NASCAR and IndyCar, we all know our spot and we work well together.
Here's something I've never asked you in the couple of years we've been doing this. How many speeding tickets have you gotten in your career, just as a citizen?
Oh, I've had a handful early in my career, but, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had any in probably the last 15 years. Most of my speeding tickets happened when I was young and foolish, and I was coming up 270. I remember I got a careless and imprudent ticket one morning at 270 and 44. You know how the traffic is at 7:30 in the morning there, and I was headed to work. This is around 1986, and I'm going in and out of traffic because I'm late. I'm trying to get to Manchester Road at, you know, OK Vacuum and Janitorial Supplies. That was my Uncle Mary's janitorial business. I'm late, and I'm family, and I can't be late. You know, how can a family member be late? And an unmarked police car guy rolls up next to me. I'm running as fast as I go. He's pointing me to pull over. Man, he chewed my butt out, and I ended up having to go to classes at night there at Kirkwood College so I get my license back. So I learned my lesson, and, we don't do that much anymore.
I can't picture a accomplished, nationally known driver like yourself having to go to driving school. That must have been crazy. Wow.
Well, you know, we're not born perfect, right, Frank? You know, when we're young, when we're in our early 20s, you know, we're not taught everything perfectly. So I was at that time, I was not a race car driver. I was just coming into my own, let's put it that way, the very first year. So did not want to be late to work. And actually, I see some of those people every morning when I'm headed somewhere in St. Louis. I'm like, oh, that was me when I was 20 years old.
Will there be a Kenny sighting at Busch Stadium the next three nights? Cubs are in town. Cards Cubs tied for first. Got about 2 months to go in the season. Division is there for the taking. Neither team's great, but they are tied. You going to head down to the park?
Yes, it's a must. Not sure what night, but we're up here in Springfield. We're going to test tonight at Farmer City, Illinois. Great racetrack about an hour from here. We'll get home tonight. We'll see what night. It's either going to be Wednesday or Thursday night. I'll be down there. We'll be racing Friday night and Saturday night. Friday night there at Granite City, Illinois at Tri-City. Then Saturday, we got the most famous dirt racing in the world. Yes, in the world. No exaggeration. The World of Outlaws will be at Kenny Schrader's I-55 Raceway this Saturday. And they will pack them in there. Unprecedented. It'll be sold out, you know, 13,000 people. Yep, that's that little big dirt track right off the side of the highway. But I'm going to have to go watch my Cardinals tomorrow and Wednesday or Thursday. Super excited about it. Don't want to hear anything about grading the divisions, because I've been told before that the National League Central was the junkie division, and then I believe we went on to win the World Series. So, you know, it's the old saying, you two, you know, let's enjoy the game until we get to August, and let's look up the scoreboard, and we are right there right now.
There it is. Fire them up. Play that before the big game tonight down at Busch. Kenny, have a great time in Springfield. Don't eat a horseshoe because you got the curse of cholesterol. That sounds like a Dr. Rickism, the curse of cholesterol. Yes. We'll see you at the park at some point here.
All right. Frank and Martin, the new duo. Thanks for having me on, gang.
All right, Kenny, we appreciate it. Kenny Wallace joining us.
Always in a good mood.
He is. And he's high on life.
Yep, and he has this mantra. He says, if you're not happy with your life, do something about it. Change your life.
Shamrocks in St. Peter serves horseshoes and pony shoes delicious. I think, in fact, this is from Doug's prison wall. We actually did a show up there and sampled it. They're really good stuff. What also is good stuff is Lakeside Roofing and their reputation. One of reliability, trust, high-quality work, competitive pricing. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Dr. Michael Jones, one of our great sponsors, 866-260-EYES. He's the king of the LASIK surgery. Get rid of the glasses and contacts forever. Let him do it. The surgery lasts about 12 seconds, and you are fixed for life. Board certified in ophthalmology, professor at SLU, some of the most skilled hands in the St. Louis area. Dr. Michael Jones, 866-260-EYES.
So, Frank, the horseshoe sandwich officially is a thick sliced toasted bread, often Texas toast, hamburger patty, cheese sauce, and then French fries. I thought there was some gravy involved. You could probably add gravy, but that's officially.
I like chopped onions on there, kind of make it a chili mac there.
It has its own Wikipedia page. The horseshoe is an open-faced sandwich originating in Springfield, Illinois. And there you have the rest of the story.
All right, let's take a short time out. We'll finish up the program right after this.